This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hilliard.
Let your future and faith come alive here at the Light.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, we're going to look at a passage of scripture, and then we're going to have a faith action step. Amen. But we want to look at this, and this is Good Friday. And one guy said, well, don't look like it was that good of a Friday, because that's the Friday Jesus got killed. Don't look like it was that good. Well, after you hear this message, you'll understand it was a very good Friday. Amen and amen. All right, there in Colossians, the second chapter, let's pick it up at verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Everybody say, nailing it to his cross. All right, so what we're going to talk about is nailing it to the cross. I want to give an understanding of this passage. When you first read it, it doesn't look like it has a lot of revelation in it, but it's full of revelation, and we really need to understand what was going on at the cross. I made a statement when we started the series on shame that whatever Jesus bore on the cross was something that would be devastating to the human experience. In other words, if he took it to the cross, that means it's something that that we as believers should not have to deal with. And when we look at all of those things that he died for, shame is on the list. Everybody say shame. And we said that shame is this intensifying, demoralizing, emotional pain that's caused by a consciousness of guilt, dishonor and defeat and failure and shortcoming. And it is the devil's aim to take shame moments and cause you to be ashamed. Now, being ashamed, we tell everybody, say, he's reviewing. That is, you taking an embarrassing moment, a shame moment, and reliving it all over again. And it causes you now to devalue yourself. And we found out the scripture says when a person does not have confidence, when a person loses this confidence, then he can't have confidence toward God. That if a person condemns himself, he cannot have confidence toward God. So what the devil wants you to do is, remember we said he had a catalog of all of your shame experiences, and everybody in here has experienced shame at one time or another. Amen? All right, but what the devil wants to do, he wants to magnify that. He wants to get in your head and begin to tell you there must be something wrong with you. There must be something wrong, and God doesn't love you. Folk don't love you. Everybody, he wants to bring you into the bottomless pit of despair, and that is why all throughout the Bible, it tells the believer that the believer should not be ashamed because of the demoralizing effect of shame. Because shame, or being ashamed, when you own it, when you allow it to define you, then it can derail your destiny. It can also cause your demeanor to be affected. It can affect your decision making. It can also cause you to feel disgraced, and as a result, of course, many people take that disgrace moment to the extreme, and that's why suicide takes place. So we understand the devastation of shame and being ashamed. The good news is the power of shame can be broken. It can be broken, and let me say, it was broken at Calvary. But we have to understand how to apply what happened on Calvary. Amen? Now, So today's exhortation is going to talk about what actually took place on Calvary. Now, you know, I grew up in church. Most many of you grew up in church, and you've gone through the Easter times, and you know, but not with a real deep understanding. Everybody say deep understanding. Yeah, deep understanding of what actually took place at the cross. There's both spiritual and symbolic significance of the cross, and that's what we want to look at today. So we got 3 points. Number one, the value of the cross. The value of the cross. Point number two will be the victory at the cross. And then we'll close out with the vision from the cross. Can we say that? The value of the cross. The victory at the cross. Oh, everybody's not participating. The value of the cross.
The value of the cross.
The victory at the cross.
The victory at the cross.
And then the vision from the cross.
All right,
let's get busy. Let's get busy. All right, go with me to your Bibles now, and let's look first at Psalms 31. Psalms 31 and verse 1. Psalms 31 and verse 1. Because we're focusing, though we'll cover a lot of things, but we want to focus on this shame issue, because that's what we want to make sure you understand. You have no, you cannot let the devil shadow you with shame and cause you to feel less about yourself. All right, first one. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. All right, are you there, Psalms? 31, 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Watch this. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Deliver me not by my righteousness, but deliver me that by what? By thy righteousness. You need to hold on to that, because that's going to mean something to us down the road. Now, the value of the cross. The cross is valuable. Watch this. Because it was prophetically proclaimed. It was prophetically proclaimed. In other words, the cross, Jesus going to the cross and dying on the cross, was not something that just haphazardly happened. It was something that was orchestrated by God. Really? Yes, it was orchestrated by God. And we can see that it was prophesied hundreds of years before it ever occurred. Go with me to your Bibles to Isaiah 53, and we'll see that there are prophets in the Bible prophesying about the cross. So it was, valuable because it was something that was prophesied. Everybody say prophesied. Yeah, the prophets understood it. God revealed it to them, and they were declaring it long before it happened. So we understand this was not some coincidental that just, you know, something just you know, popped up, and then the Christian just took on to it and says, hey, let's make something out of this. All right, let's pick it up in verse 3. It says, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? We are healed. All right, amen. I want you to hold on to that. With his stripes, what happened? We are healed. Now go to Psalms 22. What will amaze you is the prophet David, though he were king, he was also stood in the office of the prophet. He prophesies this thing over in Psalms with tremendous accuracy about what would happen on the cross, because it was prophesied. Everybody say prophesied. So I got to understand, this is not something just abruptly happened, but it was something that was being orchestrated by God. And I'll let you know why in just a moment. All right. Psalms, are you there? All right. Verse, what I tell you? Verse 22. All right. All right. Look there in verse 16. It says, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Everybody said, that sounds like what happened to Jesus. Yeah. All right. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Remember, that's what the soldiers did at the foot of the cross. They gambled over Jesus' clothes. So here it is being prophesied hundreds of years before it took place. So it's valuable. It's important because it was prophesied. Now, it's valuable. Cross. Well, the cross is valuable because not only was it prophesied, but it was here. Watch this. That the price was paid. Everybody say the price was paid. All right, let's go to, we're getting ready to go to theology school now. The price was paid. What price was paid? See, many people don't really understand when you talk about the price and all this sort of thing. See, God created the world, and he gave the world to man. And he gave man some specific orders, Adam, for things for him to do and not to do. And he said, of course, if Adam would disobey, then he would open the door for satanic encroachment, and death would come in. So when Adam sinned, watch this, he opened the door for the devil to come in and for death to come in. That's the consequence of sin. So everybody born after Adam would now be born under this cloud of sin. And so the Bible says, you know, that we were all born sinners. Watch this. But now God, wanting man to recover, sent Jesus to pay the price for man's sin. If death and destruction was the consequence for this disobedience, and somebody could come and live for whom death had no claim and would die in man's stead, then he could reverse things. Everybody say reverse it. Now that's really important. I hope I didn't confuse you on that. Because of Adam's sin, now death had the right to come in. Now, Adam did not die physically right away, but he died spiritually, being disconnected from God and set in motion physical death. All right? That is because he sinned. Now, God said now that price for sin has to be paid. And he tells Eve in the garden, there's a seed of a woman that's going to bruise the devil's head. And that seed was, he prophesied now that Jesus is going to come. And Jesus is going to live a sinless life. Therefore, death has no claim for him because death has no claim on it, because the only claim that Satan has or death has would be to those who would sin. But Jesus lived a sinless life. Therefore, you know, he now can pay the price for all of man's sins. If by one man sin entered and death entered into the world, by one man's righteousness can it all be reversed. Glory be to God. Amen. So when Jesus gives his life, everybody say he gave his life. Yeah. When Jesus gives his life on Calvary, he is paying the price for man's sin. Watch this. And he paid that price with his life and with his blood. Everybody say with his blood. All right, now go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Because when I understand this, now things start fitting together. I kind of understand, okay, this cross thing and this dying thing, okay, it starts kind of fitting together when I really see the big picture. Everybody say the big picture. All right, now, because it's very, really important now that I understand what's happening, because I can't really shout unless I understand what's going on. Amen. All right, look there in verse 25. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Everybody say propitiation. Now, that big word simply means substitute. See, it just simply means, so God, Jesus was our substitute. You should have been on the cross, but you didn't have to go because he took your place. You got it? Everybody say he's my substitute. All right, watch this. Through faith in his blood. So I got to have faith in what the blood of Jesus accomplished. Everybody say faith for what the blood of Jesus accomplished at the cross. Amen, amen, amen. All right, now, we've covered now the value of the cross. Valuable because it was prophetically proclaimed. Valuable because on it the price was paid. Now watch this. Let's look at the victory at the cross. Go with your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody say the victory, the victory. Yeah, because the Savior was victorious at the cross, but the saints were also victorious at the cross. Yeah. Now, watch this. It did not look good, but good was taking place. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody say it didn't look good, but good was taking place. Now, because see, the cross was simply like our electric chair. It was a place for capital punishment. You got it? So when we talk about the cross, and it wasn't a pretty sight at all. I mean, and you've seen some of the Hollywood productions of it, how bloody Jesus was and all that sort of thing. Oh, it was a horrible death, horrible death. And it didn't look good, but good was taking place. Watch this. And at the cross, Jesus had the devil right where he wanted him. No, seriously. See, it didn't look like it. But Jesus had the devil right where he wanted him. Okay, watch this. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, look there in verse 7. All right. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? That, see, it didn't look good, but Jesus was you know, he was in full control of what was happening. He said, now the script, when we talk about the princes of this world, that's talking about demonic powers. So he says, if the demonic powers had really known what was going place, what was taking place, they never would have killed Jesus. They did not understand he's paying the price that's going to deny them the access to torment and harass mankind. Had they known it, they never would have killed him. Just let him live forever so that they could continue their harassment. But the Bible says, watch this. Let me tell you how Jesus was in such control. Because when they arrested him in the garden, Peter pulls out his sword, cuts off this guy's ear. Jesus said, no, put that up, boy, put that up. And he picked the man's ear up, supernaturally put it back on his head. And he said, Peter, don't you know? These folk ain't taking advantage of me. I can call my father right now. And he would send legions of angels and wipe this whole place up. They not taking my life. Oh, you better hear me. They not taking anything from me. I'm giving it to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus had the devil right where he wanted him. Amen. 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 Yeah. So the Savior was victorious at the cross, because it was at the cross now that he was paying the price. He was dying in man's place. Amen, amen. So watch this now. Watch this. I submit to you, he's the only one that's been resurrected. Yeah. See, the cross was setting the stage for him to die. And when he dies and gets up from the grave, he validates everything he says. Up to now, he's just like every other God folk have. But when he dies and gets up from the grave, and there's an empty tomb, he sets himself apart from everybody else. Confucius is still in his grave. Mohammed is still in his grave. But we Christians say, we're the only ones that can say, our Lord died and he lives. Watch this. No, I know what you said. Yeah. Now, Jesus wasn't the only one that got up from the dead. You ready to go get the Shunammite's boy that was raised from the dead. You ready to go get, you know, that soldier that was thrown on the prophet's bones and he came alive. You ready to call up the name, the woman of the widow of Nain, you know, her son Jesus stopped the burial thing and got the boy up from the, you ready to get Lazarus and say, okay, now Lazarus got up from the dead. I hear you. I know what you're getting ready to do, but watch this. All of them died a second time. So I call theirs a resuscitation. Jesus was the only one that had a resurrection. He had the devil right where he wanted him. He had the devil right where he wanted him. Now watch this. Now let's go back to the text, Colossians chapter 2, and let's see if we can't unravel and unpack the text, because the text now has much more meaning to us, but because we're going to see that he was busy while they were crucifying him, he was busy. Everybody say he was busy. Yes, he was. He was busy. They didn't understand. Had they understood what was going on, scripture said they never would have crucified him. All right, Colossians chapter 2. Are you there? All right, watch this. And it says there, all right. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Hallelujah.
You mean he was nailing something to his cross? That's what the scripture says. So spiritually, something was happening in the unseen arena. That though they were killing him physically, spiritually, he was nailing stuff to the cross. Now to understand this, I got to take you back so you can understand the Roman judicial system. The Roman judicial system worked like this, that when a person was convicted of a crime, that they would give that person a certificate of debt, D-E-B-T, all right? And they would write that certificate out and how many years they had to serve in prison for the crime committed. And they would nail that on the prison door. You got it? And when the prisoner had served his time, he would take the certificate off the door and go back to the judge so the judge could certify it and stamp it. Then he folded it up, as it were, put it in his pocket so that when he walked around and somebody would say, oh, we know what you need, he said, take it out. No, I paid for it. I paid the price for it. I paid it. You can't penalize me now because I paid the debt. Now, when it comes to capital punishment, a person did something that was worthy of death, watch this, they had to put what they did that caused them to be worthy of death, they had to nail it to the cross. So that is why in John, I think chapter 16, when the Pilate said, I got to put something on the cross. So he put on the cross Jesus, King of the Jews. Now the Pharisees said, don't put that on the cross. We don't want him to. He said, no, Pilate said, now, the only way I can justifiably crucify him is that he's got to be guilty of treason. So I'm putting that on the cross. And the scripture says, he says, what is written is written. I'm not changing it. Now watch this. Now, what would happen in those days after the person died and was buried, his relatives would go and take that off the cross. That's that certificate of death, not debt, death, because it was certificate of death when they were punished capital, when they were crucified. So they would take that off, and then what they would do is they would fold it up and they would keep it with them. So when the community would see him and say, hey, yeah, your boy, no. Yeah, my boy did it, but he paid the ultimate price. So therefore, you can't penalize the family anymore because it was nailed to the cross. Are y'all listening to me? And it was at the cross that that person paid the debt for what they had done. Therefore, that crime could not be a penalty to the family or anybody else. Everybody say, that's what happened at the cross. So what happened at the cross was that while naturally there was this sign on the cross, Jesus, King of the Jews, reason he was dying. He was nailing something else. That's where the text come in at. He was nailing ordinances, attacks that were against us. That's what he was nailing on the cross spiritually, saying, this is why I'm dying. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Because now we got the right to take what he died for And when the devil tries to encroach upon us,
yeah,
all we got to do is pull out the certificate.
Glory.
It's been nailed to the cross. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody say it's been nailed to the cross. All right. So then the price was paid with his blood. Everybody say the price was paid with his blood. And so when we look at the blood situations around the cross of Jesus, around the crucifixion of Jesus, we see that the blood was shed seven times. Everybody say seven times. Yeah. Yeah. Number one, the Bible says in the garden that there was sweat like drops of blood that came from him as he agonized about going to the cross. Amen. And that had to do, he paid the price for our addictions. So in addiction, because he was trying to obey, but his flesh was fighting him. Everybody say addiction. So he paid the price for addiction. Where my addiction man? Oh, there he is. There he is. Yeah. He paid the price for my addiction. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. No, you're not supposed to nail it right now. You're supposed to just stand there. Terry's supposed to give you instructions. I want everybody to go nail it at one time. And we're going to shout while y'all nailing it. All right. Yeah. Just hold on. Amen. Everybody say addiction. Addiction. All right. Number two, we see the blood on his back. Everybody say his back. The Bible says they beat him with 39 stripes, and sickness and disease is in 39 categories. So no matter what your category is, if you're dealing with sickness and disease, he paid for it with his blood. My healing's been paid for. Where my healing man? Where my healing person? Amen. All right. Amen. Well, sickness and disease. That's it. Sickness and disease. All right. Number three, the Bible says that they put a crown of thorns on his head. And that means the blood touched the thorn. Everybody say the blood touched the thorns. Now we have to go back to understand the first mention of thorns in the Bible was after Adam's sin. And now Adam, the ground began to bring forth thorns and thistles, which meant that Adam had to work now by the sweat of his brow. His prosperity was dependent upon his sweat, Jesus. But after the cross, the blood touched the thorns. Everybody say the blood touched the thorns. Now what this was establishing man's right to prosperity. Everybody say the price has been paid for my prosperity. Where my prosperity person? Come on. Where my prosperity person? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where my prosperity person? Pray. Oh, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus. Hey, glory. My prosperity. Get a prosperity. Yeah, hand clap. Hey, man. Yeah, just stand right in front of the clock. Ooh. Hey, glory. All right, watch this. So there's the blood, the sweat of his brow. The blood which establishes my redemption over any addiction. The blood on his back, which establishes my victory over sickness and disease. The blood on his brow that establishes my victory over poverty and gives me a right to prosperity. Then the Bible says that they nailed his hands. So the blood touched his hands, which was the establishing of man's authority. So I have a right to have authority in the earth because he paid the price for my authority. Paid the price for my authority. Glory be to God. Amen. Paid the price for my authority. So he paid the price for sickness and disease. Paid the price for my authority. He paid the price for my addiction. And he paid the price for poverty and lack. Amen. Then, the Bible says, watch this, they nailed his feet. Feet was really a symbol of dominion. Bible says, wherever you put your feet, I bless wherever you put your feet. Everybody say dominion. So, but that dominion was lost at the sin in the garden when Adam fell, watch this, which gave the right of the devil to harass him, watch this, and to cause him to feel shame. But my dominion was restored. Everybody say restored. Watch this. And the price for shame has been paid. Can I get a better amen than that? So where are we now? We got the price for shame being paid. The price for Satan's authority over me has been paid. The price for sickness and disease has been paid. The price for addiction have been paid. And the price for poverty and lack has been paid. And so the Bible also talks about the blood that came out of his side. Now that's interesting, because when they pierced him in the side, the scripture says, watch this, blood and water. Everybody say blood and water. Yeah, blood and water came out of his side. Now, where was the water coming from? That's kind of amazing. Everybody say blood and water. All right, now here's why. Even medical science says that when the body is stressed and traumatized, that there's a sac around the heart that fills up with fluid. Amen. It fills up with fluid, you understand? Fluid congregates there when the body is under stress. And of course, crucifixion causes the body to be stressed. So now, watch this. When they pierced him in the side, it's just not in the side, it's in the heart. That's why we got the blood and the water, because the Holy Spirit wanted to specify for you to know that he was pierced in his heart. He died of a broken, pierced heart. So he paid the price for all your emotional stress. Hallelujah. Everybody say, paid the price for my emotional stress. Amen, amen. All right. So, all right. That's six, but we said seven, right? All right, now watch this. For this seventh one, you got to look deeper. Everybody say, look deeper. All right, the Bible says, and we read it in Isaiah, he was bruised. Watch this. Everybody say, bruised. Yeah, he was bruised. Bruised. Everybody say, bruised. Bruised for my iniquities. Bruised for my... Now, bruise is blood underneath the skin. That has not broken the skin, but it's still blood. Everybody say, but it's still blood. Now, iniquity is the biblical term for generational curses. A generational curse is something that you see happening time and time again in a family. You know, the mama had, you know, she had something that happened to her. It happened to the next generation, happened to the next generation. You know, daddy went to jail, son went to jail, grandson in jail, or, you know, generation afflictions where generation after generation suffered the same kind of affliction where that power was broken. Yeah. At the cross, everybody say at the cross. Now, at the cross, that power was broken. The power for the devil to take advantage of a generational weakness has been broken. So the generational curse stops with you. Yeah. Everybody say it stops with me. Amen, amen, amen. So now we have all seven. Well, gentlemen, it's time to nail it to the cross. Everybody say
it's time
to nail it to the cross. So, gentlemen, I need you all to pick up your nails, and I need you all to pick up your hammers, and I need y'all, and while y'all nailing it, we're going to be shouting, and we're going to be clapping, because we are claiming what has been nailed to the cross. So everybody say, nail it
to the cross.
Tell them again,
nail it
to the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen,
amen. Come on, give them a hand clap. Amen, 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 amen. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. You all may be seated. So we've covered our first 2 points. And now my final point for my last 2 minutes. And that is division from the cross. Because now from the cross, I got a total another perspective. How I view life now is different. Now, you know, they accuse the Word of Faith churches of not being cross-sensitive. Well, you can't accuse us of that, because we claim too much that was afforded us at the cross. Well, the claim is, y'all don't have crosses in y'all church. Well, I think you need a revelation on the cross over a replica of the cross. See, you can have a replica and no revelation, and there will be no life change. But when you got a revelation of what happened at the cross, whether you got the replica or not, you got something that you carry in your heart, whether you see a cross or not. Everybody say vision. Yeah, my perspective of my future changes because of what I see from the cross. Well, in 1707, a hymn was written. And this hymn was written, and then in 1885, everybody say 1885, a guy named Hudson, he added a chorus to the hymn. Now, I'm going to start the hymn off, but then we're gonna show you what's going on. Well, the hymn starts this way. Those of you who grew up in traditional churches probably remember this hymn. It says, "At last and dead my Savior bled. And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as thou?" All right, I got my folk here, all right? Now, what was added, what was added in 1885 was this chorus line. Now, she said, well, what was the significance is that I studied it. That's why I'm saying, you don't care what the date is, but I studied it, so I got to say it because I studied it. But now, here's what was added that makes it so popular. Watch this. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there, watch this, by faith, I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. So the question is, what did you see at the cross cause you to be happy? Look at the person that said, what did you see at the cross that caused you to be happy? Well, at the cross, I could see beyond, watch this, my handicaps. That whatever was handicapping me, Jesus paid the price for it at the cross. At the cross, I could see beyond my habits. So whatever habit I have that the devil's trying to let to tell me I can't kick, I understand, not so, price been paid at the cross. At the cross, I can see living beyond my handicaps and living beyond my habits, but also living beyond hardship. Because whatever hardship that the devil tries to throw at me, I can overcome it. Amen. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. At the cross, I saw. Everybody say, at the cross. Yeah, at the cross, I can see beyond hang-ups. In other words, I can deal with folk who got hang-ups because I understand the hang-up you have, is something you can get over. So I'm not going to define you by your hang-up because the price has been paid for your hang-up. And then if I got some hang-ups, I got to understand it's not going to be with me always because the price, everybody say the price, has been paid. Yes, indeed. And then I see beyond harassments. You may be under harassment from the devil now. And I talked about the harassment of shame. Things that happened to you in your past that you can't seem to shake. Well, you understand the price has been paid. Watch this. And the power has been appropriated. And what you've got to understand now is how to possess my freedom. Everybody say possessing my freedom. Final scripture is 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, because we're about to engage in a faith action. Everybody say faith action. Yeah, faith action. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to nail some stuff to the cross. Now, you don't have to go to a particular cross to nail your issue there, whatever issue that is. But this faith action step is like when Jesus told the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. It wasn't the pool water that healed the man. Because everybody else who got in the pool, nothing happened to them. But it was his faith action when he did it. Got it? So we're going to have a faith action tonight. Things that we have been worried about. Things that the devil has tormented our thinking about. Everybody say, it's time to nail it to the cross once and for all. Everybody say, we're going to leave it at the cross. And from this day forward, we're going to thank God that the price has been paid and we are free of the torment in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. All right, watch this. Verse 7 says, casting, 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all. Everybody say once and for all. On him, for he careth for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So our faith action we're going to take in just a moment. And watch this. It's a time of joy. We don't need to come to the cross, you know, sad. Everybody says it's a good Friday. Yeah, it's a good Friday because he paid the price. So you can rejoice and you can leave having nailed it to the cross. If it's lacking your life and the devil told you, you're never going to get ahead. He's a lie. The price has been paid. Amen. If it's sickness that has been plaguing you or your family members, and you got to understand the price, you got a right to be healed. You got a right to believe for your healing. If it's authority, I mean, when the devil's vexing people and the devil is trying to let you know or trying to exert his authority over your life. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. Price has been paid. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so in closing, everybody say he closing. Yeah. So I like to just tell everybody there's no need for them to be concerned about the contemporary church and the cross. I want to arrest everybody's concern that, you know, thinking that word of faith folk don't acknowledge the cross. That's just a tale. Now, no, we dare not. Everybody say we dare not. Yeah, we dare not ignore the cross. Because if there is no cross, where is the wounding for my transgressions? If there is no cross, where is the bruising for my iniquities? If there is no cross, where is the chastisement for my peace? If there is no cross, then where are the stripes by which I'm healed? If there is no cross, we don't honor the cross, watch this. There is no cleansing for my sin. Because it was down at the cross where my Savior died. It was down where from cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. So I got to hold on to the cross, because if there is no cross, there is no fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners who plunge beneath that flood could lose all their guilty stain. If there is no cross, look at the person next to you and say, thank God for the cross. Down at the cross. It was down at the cross on a hill far away, on an already rugged cross, is where my sins were paid for, where my suffering was paid for, and where shame was paid for. Amen. So we're going to partner with the Lord from here on out. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Everybody say, lift him up. So when folks start talking about what's happening in their lives, that's an opportunity for you to lift him up. To let them know, baby, you don't have to put up with that, because the price has been paid. Are you listening to me? So when I understand what happened at the cross, it's a shouting time. Amen. Amen. Everybody say glory. To his name. Father, we thank you for this word. It's fallen on good ground, and therefore it produces fruit in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout, won't you? Now, we're gonna rejoice and give you an opportunity, all right, to take out your paper there and write what you're going to nail to the cross. Amen. And then we'll give you an opportunity to do that and then go back to your seat. Everybody say, go back to your seat. Go back to your seat. We're going to worship together.